I don't know if I can tell this joke, Ali. I think I'm going to get a lot of potential backlash for it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nah, go for it. I'll back you in.
Well, I think this this is the most probably inappropriate joke I reckon I've said on the podcast.
Oh, okay. So I have to go into the gutter for this one?
Ali.
Yes?
There is a vast difference between when a young girl, woman, and a young man, yes, a boy, says, yes, I emptied a whole box of tissues whilst watching that movie last night.
Oh, goodness me. Yes, yes. Slightly controversial, but there is a part of me that absolutely loves
it. You can see
so
why I was nervous so about saying this. You encouraged me to just, you know what, bring out the crazy ones.
Just, you know, get it out there. Go on. No, I loved it. So I'll support you in the backlash, Andrew. Don't worry.
Thank you, Ali.
What are we talking about today, my friend?
Well, I think the joke is often a bit of a precursor to our topic and to our theme. And what I want to do today, and this is kind of coming off the back of you being so generous with allowing me to share, I guess, my journey and my story over the last kind of season and a half or so of the podcast around family and that kind of stuff, which has been great. I'd love to give the opportunity for you to probably share your story a bit of your past, a bit of your present, a bit of your future, what you go through, what you experience in the light of really encouraging others out there. And I think in particular, and we've obviously talked about this before we've started recording. I'm not springing this on you. In particular, the fact that you are a woman and I'm a man.
Yes.
And thus our experience in our career and within the accounting industry itself has some similarities, but obviously has some very significant differences.
Absolutely.
And so I think it's a really important thing. I think it's like it's important for all of us to be aware and know. I think
it's
a very sensitive topic for people, and I think it's also quite confronting. So we might hit the theme song and then we'll come back.
Absolutely.
And I'm just gonna ask you some questions. I'd love to see what your perspective is.
Absolutely, go for it. I'm so ready. Let's do it.
So, Ali, in case the listeners didn't realise, you're a woman, I'm a man. That is one of the big differences, other than you don't have a enormous beard and I am not ridiculously fit. Those are probably two other dramatic differences between
us. I love that those are the differences between us. I'm sure there's many more, but those are the overt, obvious ones, absolutely.
I reckon when you spend time with enough people, you realise we're actually we're not all that different after all.
No, we do have some similarities.
We do. We do. But as kind of expressed before we went to the thin thong, I really want to, I don't know, it's kind of like I've always as a man not really thought about the environment of being a woman, particularly in like the professional work environments. Our team here at Illuminate, we've got, 50% women on our leadership team. We've got more than 50% women within our business. It's not really been a thing that I've had to think about, but I have been exposed to it in a few cases in the past where I'm like, oh, that might be the thing that people talk about. But I'd love for you to kind of just share us your experience, I guess, as a woman in the accounting industry. And if I might just guide you with some questions, and you can interrupt me if you don't like them. But
Just go as hard as you want. This is a topic that I'm actually incredibly passionate about, and I do like to share my story because, look, this is my personal experience. Mm. And I'm not saying that every woman experiences this. That would be utterly ridiculous to say. Mm. But I do know that when I share my story, I have so many women connecting with me and saying, thank you so much for sharing your story. Mine is very similar. So if this impacts one person, 15 people or more, it doesn't matter. I want people to recognize that this is my experience and my story. And although it might be polarizing to you and you may disagree, this is my experience and the way that I've seen it. I also want to express that I've been 30 years in the game. Mm. And what I need you to understand is that things are different now. But when I started, think about 30 years ago. It was 1993.
When I was eight.
The professional work environment was very different. And so some of the things that happened to me may not happen today, or unfortunately in other environments, it still may. So I want you to kind of have that lens when we're kind of working through my story. Does that make sense?
That's a really good way to open this, mate, because I think it is important for us to identify and recognise, what has happened in the past, rightfully or wrongfully, yep. if it's good or bad yep. or in between. But I think it's yep. also important for us to recognise that, like, there is great awareness, greater appreciation, much more equality, or at least I personally feel in the circles I operate, that too. Much more equality.
I feel that things are changing.
But,
yes.
but there's still things, and things still happen, and for various yep. reasons there is. But let's go back, and this is, I guess, this yeah. is one thing that I'm curious about. I have two young daughters who are mm-hmm. Years off entering into the workforce and a career and those kind of things. So at one point you were a young woman, some 97 years ago or so.
Still very young. Thank you very much. We live a lot longer now, so in comparison, I'm still very young. That's yes. good.
I'm intrigued with the idea of, like, entering into the workforce, and particularly, like, the accounting or professional career.
Yeah.
As a woman, is it different? Like, do you just yeah. kind of roll up and be like, sick, yeah, let's do this job? Or, like, cause I feel like there's this preconceived idea of, like, women really have to prepare themselves for certain environments because of the potential prejudice that might exist. Can you tell me about yeah. your experience yeah. 84 yeah, look, years ago and what that was like?
Thanks so much.
I was going to bring the lightheartedness every now and then.
30 years ago. I know, please do. 30 years ago. And remember, you're the only one that's allowed to do the age jokes. Thank please, you. Nobody else do that Thank to me. You. Look, it's not like women are scared walking down the street. It's not like that. And I think I was a little bit naive when I started, or, 30 years ago, that I had grown up with an incredibly supportive father, and I've got three older brothers who were super protective, super lovely, never treated me any differently because I was a woman. So I came in really naively to the accounting industry, which was incredibly male-dominated at that time. I don't think I actually worked with a woman for like 5-6 years in a more leadership capacity. In fact, the first woman boss I had was 13 years into my career. So I'd walked into an all-male dominated profession, and I was a bit naive, but used to blokes, like, because obviously I'd had my three older brothers and it was just me as the girl at the time in the family. So I was kind of used to it. But what I did recognise very early on was that I kind of prevented myself from being too female. So I created male attributes in my professional work life to fit in, to have fun, to learn, to grow, to manage as I worked through my time in my first job. So I certainly became actually more male. And so maybe in some senses I didn't recognize the disparity between female and male until it was like literally shoved in my face. And that happened to me once I recognized I was kind of limited in my career capacity.
Can you give me an example of the male-esque things that you adopted in that environment? Like what was something that you would have done but you were doing it different because you were surrounded by men?
Yeah, I think I have, as a female leader, I have these enormous layers of support and empathy and maternal instinct that I guess because that's I'm also a mother as well, and I do bring that into the workforce. I felt like I just couldn't be me. Like, it was more that I was covering up the female side of me. So I didn't want people to see emotion. I didn't want people to see that things had impacted me or words had impacted me. I didn't want people to see that I couldn't do things. And so I would go 150% at something. For instance, in my management, I wouldn't allow people to bring in their own emotions because it bothered me and I didn't know how to deal with that in a professional mm. environment. I'd never seen somebody be empathetic or sympathetic or allow me to have a family outside of work. So it was this real work. This is Ali work and this is Ali home. And so I felt like I was wearing this corporate veil and holding back all of these different parts of me. Like, I'm a bit of a laugher and a very big picture person, and I get along with most people. But in this scenario, I was actually more harsh. I wasn't at all what you would see as me today. Mm. I was very stoic, non-emotional, very task orientated. Does that make sense?
It does. You said you didn't want people to know that you couldn't do things. Now, I'm assuming, like, at this same time when you're there, was there, like, a male at the same experience level as you working there as well? Like, was there two of you there, three of you, five of you, or was it just you
that
at the level
of experience?
That came
on after. Yeah, so it came on after. So I was usually a year or two behind most of the blokes that I worked with, so it was never comparatively.
And just to confirm, that was based on years of experience, not like, oh, you've only been here for a year, but they're way ahead of you now. It's just they'd been there for three years, you'd only been there for one, yeah?
Yeah, that's right. Yep. But I didn't want them to – I kind of wanted to be where they were and be on par and to learn as quickly or quicker. So it was more my my desire to prove myself in that environment because I was in the accounting team, the only woman at that time. And so I kind of felt this need to show the men that women can do the same thing,
so
that we can achieve as much. And but to do that, sometimes I needed to go 150, 200%.
Was the fear that you thought, if you didn't do something, that they would assume it was because you were a woman? Or was that the reality?
Yeah,
so absolutely. So was it like you didn't do something and they're like, oh, it's because you're a woman? Or is it that you're saying, I can't let them see that I can't do things because they'll assume it's because I'm a woman?
Bit of both.
Bit of both. Yeah, that's
and
interesting.
So there was this underlying thought process. And you know what? Even when I got pregnant, I was embarrassed because the environment didn't support it. And so I pushed myself and my body to parts where I should never have done it. And I look back in regret. And even when I had my first bubby, gosh, I'm getting a little bit emotional. When I had my first bubby, I literally worked right up until the day she was born. And then I gave birth and I was back at work after.
Hold on.
Yeah.
You felt that because you were a woman in an environment full of men and that there was no support for you to...
I wasn't supported. I was not supported.
Yeah, but so there was no support for you, which meant you couldn't take a few weeks off before you had a kid to get things ordered to, like, make sure you're listening and caring for your body.
I had to make sure that...
Were you just told that you can't take leave?
My boss was a bit peeved at me and basically said, well, all of these jobs need to be done and, yeah, you wanted this baby, but, like, you're going to have to continue to help out. And, look, I was a very different person back then and I didn't fight back and I wanted to please and, I'd hit that manager level and...
So there was no... I'm just a bit flabbergasted on this element of working till the day you had a kid. Now, people can do that with choice because that's what they choose to do, but, like, it sounds like you had no choice in the matter.
No, I was forced.
Did you ask to be able to finish earlier?
No, I don't even think I did.
There was just
too much fear of,
I can't...
And
they didn't suggest, hey, do you want to take some time off? You're heavily pregnant, maybe you should, like...
Was there any criticism
of the work you were doing because you were pregnant? Like, oh,
no,
you're having
no,
to see the doctor
more. No, but I would get
comments and...
like, I would literally, like, because I, you know, at 9 months pregnant, I was rather had a big belly. And I was being told by some of the partners as I walked past, oh, gosh, you're getting fat. And they knew I was pregnant. And I was like, I don't even know what to say.
There's a nice way to say, geez, you're looking beautiful, aren't you? Are you excited as opposed to, geez, you're fucking huge, aren't
you? Or just don't say anything at all. Like I just don't. Anyway, so there were little sly comments made, like, I've never seen a woman go off and have a baby and come back. They always lose their minds or they always lose their professionalism or they always lose their drive. And so all of these little comments were said. It's like being cut. It's like being, dying by 1,000 paper cuts. Like, there was no big particular moment that I thought you guys are just rude and this is wrong. It was just these little cuts that they would make along the way and these little comments that made me feel like I had to just keep going and prove to them that women, even whilst pregnant, can still achieve, that we're still intelligent. We don't lose our marbles. We don't get baby brain. And look, some people do, some people don't. But I had this innate desire to show and prove to them that it wasn't something that they should hold me back for.
I guess it was like forcing an expectation upon you as opposed to allowing you. Like, I'm sorry, that just,
yeah.
like,
But remember, it was a long time ago, and I have had a very different experience. I moved to an employer of choice after my first puppy, and I had a very different experience there. But my first experience was not pretty, and then I came back after 3 months and went full-time because he said to me, no, you can't do part-time. And I literally have blackouts over that period of time where I can't actually remember anything that was actually done, and I had such struggles.
So how long after having your kid did you come back?
Yeah, after 12 weeks.
So you had 12 weeks and then you came back full time. Yeah. And there was no option to not. It was like you're either coming back or, at Illuminate here, like we try to be as flexible and as open as we possibly can, right? So it's like, hey, when do you want to take time off? When do you want to come back? How do you want to come back? And then we have to look at how we can make sure we have the environment that works for them. What kind of stuff do you want to do? How do we make that happen? All those kind of things. It is a massive challenge as a small business and with a smaller team to juggle that. But like, there's a difference between like, working with one another and saying, how can we make this the best possible experience given what both sides kind of need to happen versus you're doing this or you don't have a job.
And when I see the positive out of it, I see what I wanted when I was heading out maternity leave. And so I can give that to my team members. You know, I've just given that to Lee, you know.
Yeah.
So it is about that flexibility. It is around the communication. It is around the empathy. It is around the understanding and how do you want this to look. So, you know, I've learnt all of those things. It's just at the time, what I was presented with was not that. And so it was actually a quite traumatising time for me. And I guess one of those stick-in-the-sand moments that, oh, gosh, this isn't working so well. And it wasn't very long after that things kind of went down the slippery dip and went pretty low pretty quick, which was very disappointing after I'd provided 13 years of loyalty. But, it wasn't a great experience, unfortunately.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, that has smacked me in the face already. And
I got the wet fish out, didn't I?
I'm not even sure if we're going to get through a full episode with the amount of stuff you're probably going to share. Because, like, how many years into your career were you at this point when you've gone and had your first child?
I was around 10.
Okay. Yep, so you'd been there for a while.
Yeah. And I'd worked my butt off to get into management, which is another point here. I had men around me hitting manager around the year 4, 5, 6 mark, which is pretty average. And I remember at the time I was obsessed with metrics and lodgements and reviews and, you know, I topped the state in all of my CA studies. So I knew that I was doing well. And it took me 10 to get to management. And I was really a bit, disappointed. And I'd had to really advocate for myself and provide business case after business case to get that promotion. And it just seemed like the men just kind of fell into it because they'd reached their tenure and off you go. And, you know, I remember looking at their metrics and saying they're not reaching their productivity or write-off targets and their teams aren't happy. And I've got positive feedback from my team. I'm meeting all the metrics. We were at the time one of the most highly performing teams. But yet it still wasn't enough to kind of get to that point. And that's, like, I guess, something I do want to highlight is around 30 June every year, I see all the LinkedIn promotions hitting, you know, LinkedIn. And, you know, it's wonderful and I absolutely love seeing all the promotions. But something that's quite stark to me, and now that I say it and you'll see it, you can never unsee it, is – you know, I do see quite a lot of females being promoted and males. Mm-hmm. That's fine. But if you look at their tenure, the women usually are double what the men are in tenure. And that's the part that I think we need to confront at this point, is that there is still more time for women to get to management than there is men. And some might say, oh, they've gone and had babies. No, usually women hit management and then go and have babies. That's usually on average how it rolls. So it isn't that. And I think we need to, as leaders, look at, and this is where this disparity is coming, around women sometimes aren't going to put their hand up to say, I can do that job until they can do it 150%. Whereas men sometimes are like, oh, I could give it a crack, I haven't done, but I'll give it a go. And that's confidence-based. And so if we do have women and men with the same tenure behind them, same skill set, I think we need to treat them quite differently and actually support and encourage women to take that step a lot earlier or to provide the opportunity rather than saying, oh, they're most probably not interested. And so I honestly think that that is still prolific in this industry, and it's so disappointing every 30 June when I see it happen. Like, it smacks me in the face like a wet fish. And it's something that most people don't notice. But every time I see a promotion, I actually go in and check their tenure. And like Lee and I have done it like for the last 4 years, and every year we get quite upset.
It's so interesting because I guess, you know, like like you kind of said, like the initial reaction is, oh, they've gone off and had a kid or two. So, you know, if you've had a kid or two and, you know, maybe they've missed, you know, 2, 3, 4 years because they've decided that they want to spend time with their family and away from workplace, and then they kind of come back. And, you know, maybe there's some understanding around why there's a slightly longer tenure. But if... I mean, if what you're saying is correct, is like, no. Like, they've been there for 10 years. That person's been there for 5. They haven't had kids. They haven't gone away for whatever particular reason it is.
Well, they might have had 6 months and then gone back part-time, but you can still progress during that period of time. You can still get the same experience. But on average, it's, large a gap.
Let's keep on the train of having kids and taking time off and coming back, because I think I wanted to talk a bit more about like you as like the young whippersnapper female, but now we're talking about kids and stuff. Talk to me about that, because I think one of the challenges, and I've had a few of our team members, so we've had four of our women here have had kids and returned to work. And then we've had a couple of guys and their partners have kids and return to work. And I'd like to think it hasn't stopped their career. I mean, I actually might even just go and have a bit of a chin wag with them afterwards and be like, hey, did we do anything that might have paused this for you or not? Like, I know that one of those people, Kate, is like the head of our bookkeeping team. She's still the head of our bookkeeping team. So it's not like we went, oh, you're not going to do that anymore. But
would she have got there if she'd had the child first? Anyway, and I'm not saying for you guys. I think you guys are different. Yeah. Look, there are pockets where everything's fine and there's respect and no disparity, but I think there are still pockets where there are. And look, I've been in too many boardrooms where decisions are made around promotions and the conversation is, oh, but she hasn't had a baby yet and I know she wants to. Oh, pause her. Hold her. And it's disgusting, but it's happened, and I've sat in those meetings and I'm disgusted at myself sometimes for not fighting back early.
Just to throw out a bunch of probably what men might suggest, but also what's probably sitting in my head too, and I'd like to flag, not at all like, hey, all is good here, but often people would make decisions based off experience. So is there any credit to the notion of like, that room of people have had experience that whenever females that have worked for them have come back, have either come back and are not performing at the level that they were beforehand, or are not contributing what the business needs them to be contributing at where they are, or I don't know, like,
there's a lot of subconscious bias going on, and also it's really short term sight. So, you know, if a woman goes off and has a baby, it's usually a year max, and they'll come back, be super effective, and off they go, and they're so grateful you get the longevity if you treat them right.
Yep.
But sometimes when it's not the person coming back into the business isn't successful and decides, look, it's not for me anymore, that's actually usually to do with the employer, because they haven't supported them. Yeah. They've given this subconscious bias. They're basically willing them to fail and seeing all of the things that they want to see. And sometimes we create our own narrative around these things. Mm-hmm. But what I've found is if you provide a really supportive environment, uplift, provide confidence, provide the ability for flexibility, what you get is an absolute powerhouse woman who cuts the crap, is super efficient, gets the job done, and has an enormous skill set because she's so well-rounded. I mean, the mental load that most women carry is enormous.
Yeah.
And so you just think about their capacity. It's crazy.
Mm.
And that's where I think, you know, this cliff, you know, we talk about, we're really struggling in the industry to get good people and to retain them. If we can actually somehow work out the career cliff that women seem to fall into and actually resolve that pain point, which I think is actually incredibly simple. It's around flexibility, support, communication and empathy. I actually think that we'd have a great number of senior people back in our profession helping to lift our productivity and resolving so many of the pain points of overworking and stress that we currently experience. that we're having to try to dive into tech and AI and everything else to try and stop gap.
Mm.
So, you know, I've been in too many conversations and too many boardrooms where those ridiculous notions are brought up. And, yeah, it's individual to every person, but it's kind of like, oh, it didn't succeed once 15 years ago, so why is it going to succeed today? Like, what a ridiculous notion. Every single person is different and you've got to back that person in. You've got to provide the support.
I think we're just going to pause for a minute and we'll go to and have a listen to some of our incredible sponsors who are supporting these kind of conversations whilst I probably just compose myself in terms of what I might want to probe you on next. Thank you, Ellie.
Yeah, no worries.
Have a listen to our incredible sponsors here.
Have you ever heard of FYI? Not as in for your information, but FYI, the software. It is the absolute bomb. We've been using it at All In for the last 3 years. It is document management and storage, but so much more. We use it for all of our emails to securely share documents with clients. They have automations that blow my mind. If you could actually lean into that and see the power of that, we do it for our onboarding and offboarding, plus all the other bits and pieces that are just, you know, you can put into a process and automate. It is purpose built for accountants. It is their mission to liberate us accountants by halving the time we spend on compliance and admin. And I can tell you, it is true. We also use FYI to beef up our XPM workflow. So all of our jobs are in there with allocated budgets, times, staff members, notes. It is so good to be able to see it all in one spot. So it's online document management with built-in collaboration tools and a powerful automation engine. It is an absolute game changer for your practice. Get on it.
You know, when you find a piece of software that just happens to do a lot more than you expected it to do, and then as you delve deeper and deeper and deeper into it, you realize, holy moly, there is so much that I can do here. Well, good friends of the podcast Patreon are one of those pieces of technology that I am constantly amazed by whenever we spend time within there. They can do a whole bunch of stuff like data capturing and pre-accounting, AP automation approval workflows, FX and multi-currency business accounts, corporate cards and expenses, group batch and partial payments, payroll reimbursements, payroll payments, and a whole bunch of other incredible stuff all within the one platform. Now, Patreon does connect to all of the great accounting softwares out there and builds a whole bunch of finance automation to ensure that you are efficiently managing your cash flow, your spend, and your expenses, as well as having transparency and approval processes in place so the right things happen at the right time. So I'm going to go check them out. Patreon, PAYTRON.com.
Do you need to create time and capacity within your accounting firm? I have the answer, and that's working with TOA Global, the global accounting team. All In has been working with TOA Global for 4 years, and our team is absolutely amazing. They're accountants trained in Australian accounting. They can hit the ground running. You don't need to worry about looking after their education, their HR, their performance development. TOA Global has it covered. They make sure that their team are well looked after, that they're having lots of fun together. They do team building, HR, they do it all so that you can focus on getting the productivity and the capacity and helping people in your Aussie team to do the right jobs, helping your global team to do the right jobs, freeing you up to absolutely grow your firm and scale it efficiently.
All right, Ellie, we just had a break. We had to listen to our sponsors. I've gathered some composure. I wanted to just follow a little bit more train of thought around the women having kids coming back to work element, because I know that is obviously a really large part of the debate around opportunity, longevity, skill set, quality, team makeup, all these kind of things. Mm-hmm. And I'm just reflecting on the reality of the situation through Illuminate is all of our team, female team members who went and had kids, all chose to come back part-time. None of them chose to come back to the job that they were originally hired to do. And whilst I
that might be through lack of support at home, by the way, but yeah,
possibly. And whilst I'm comfortable with that, and I don't necessarily have a personal issue with that. You know, that's just a thing. I guess that is a challenge, right? So, I mean, you're an employer, you have team. So if you hire someone to do a job, and then you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 years later, however that might be, they come back and say, "I'm not going to do that job anymore." Because of this thing, and whilst I would like to think that most people respect that's their decision, the challenge is, oh crap! Now how do I get this job done? Because if you're not going to do the job, I have to now go and hire someone to do that job, but I have to keep a job open for you to come back. Otherwise, I'm a shithead employer. So now I'm hiring someone to do the job. I have to keep your spot open. Then you come back, and are you going to be part time? Are you going to be full time? Are you going to do this? Are you not? Like, what is it that you want to do? And I guess it's the challenge of like. And this is what we try to say to a lot of our team who are contemplating taking, you know, a long period of time off, whether it's for having kids, going on holiday, or any other reasons they might want to do that for, is like, we understand that you might not know what it's going to look like when you come back. So I don't want to force and create that on you. But as soon as you do know what that looks like, it's so important that we know that. Because if we don't know what that is until like day one, you come back and you go, actually, I don't think I'm going to come back. And we're like, shit, so we've planned for you to come back. If we'd known that you weren't, we could have planned for that.
Oh, look, and that's not fair. The communication has to be two-way.
So as someone who's gone through that yourself a couple of times, three times, sorry, as well as had, you know, team members and friends and all that kind of stuff, how do you think employers – and I'm saying women in the workplace, but I mean, this also applies to men who, I took 4 months with my kid, you know, people who are taking that longer period. And if we focus on women around that, and like, is that a thing? Like, as like you said, you know, you said, I am a mother, thus I am empathetic. Now, I don't think that removes men can't be, but
not
the experience as a mother that you have from carrying a child to birthing a child to feeding a child to raising, that stuff is something that men just don't get that level of intimacy in that period. So does things just become, oh shit, I didn't think I wanted to be a mum, but now I want to be a mum. Or I thought I wanted to be full-time, but now I'm not. Or I thought I'd only be part-time, but I want to be full-time. Like, how do you...
Yeah, and look, this is the super difficult bit. It's the super difficult bit because a lot of women think they know, and then their whole, you know, your whole life changes, everything changes, and it's difficult. I think all you can do on both sides of the employee-employer relationship is to be as open and communicate as quickly and efficiently as possible, not to hold back things that you're feeling or try and work it out and have these really honest, open, awkward, uncomfortable conversations. It's necessary. Look, I know a lot of women who've wanted to return to the workforce but can't go full-time, so have had to go part-time but have become more effective. And I've had other women that are like, I would prefer to, you know, just be at home. That's fine, whatever that is. It's always going to be awkward. It's always going to be difficult. We always lose people we don't want to lose. And I think as an employer, the way that I see it is it's short-term pain for long-term gain. How long can I support the flexibility? And if I can't, I just have to say it. Look, we're really small. This is a pivotal role. I really need somebody full-time. How do you see that panning out? And just negotiating between the two, but that you need to have that honest, open conversation. You know, and I think it's just super important to be honest and open about it. Like, what else can you do? But to presume somebody's answer or to presume an outcome for somebody based on somebody else's outcome, or to walk in with a subconscious bias around what you believe is going to happen, I think those are the things that we need to confront here and deal with it on an individual basis. And I've had some of my team, you know, a lot of them have little ones at home and need flexibility, and the little ones get sick and they've got to support. Those are all of the pain points of being an employer, but there are pain points for them too. You just have to work through it. You've just got to suck it up. Like, there's no perfect world. Otherwise, you know, we'd all have robots. It doesn't work that way. And we're willing to forgive other things. Why can't we, you know, be compassionate here?
Yeah, it's such a challenging environment, isn't it? You know, an employer trying to build a business and do a thing and have roles and responsibilities, and you thought you had everything planned out, and then you don't for something that's beautiful and amazing and to be celebrated. And then I can imagine, I've been in the position. Yeah. Like it's really hard to like, how do I as an employer say, hey, this is what we need. Otherwise, like the business cannot sustain what it needs to. You know, we can't fulfill the vision, the mission. We can't afford to pay the thing, whatever that looks like. And I wonder if like
This is the thing. There are so many pain points in business. This is just one of them. But for some reason, people have this.
It's because it involves like a level of like, you know, it's a gender and equality thing that gets contributed in there. There's a difference between going, will I go cloud or will I not? Because you're not talking about a human. You're just, to some extent, there might be humans whose like jobs may not be as the same. But like this is based on someone because of their gender is being impacted because of this stuff. And I think as business owners, it's delicate because you're afraid to like, shit, I can't. In this day and age, back then it would have been made much different. It would have. It's almost. I wouldn't say the roles are reversed. That's a really bad call from me. But more a matter of like the fear of fucking this up as a male or as a business owner is very, very high because of what those consequences could look like in terms of legally or in terms of like socially and, you know, what the internet learns about that and presumes of you. In this space, obviously, we all take responsibility for ourselves and what we do. And I think you touched on it really briefly before around communication and whatnot. But as a woman who has gone through having kids, and as a woman who's gone through an experience, whatever it is, this is the shit that you've gone through, right, mate? Yeah. I feel like I have to keep calling you a woman. As a human, as a person, as someone who's gone through and experienced this kind of stuff, right? What responsibility do you believe lies on your shoulders and the shoulders of others in your situation to contemplate, I guess, the actions you're doing, the impact of the action, how you communicate those kind of things, like stepping up, doing like those kind of stuff where it's like, great, because I will potentially, or because I plan on having a kid, I know that that will be a thing. Like what responsibility do you think sits on the shoulders of that to kind of communicate and work well with?
Yeah. And look, I can only talk from my experience, but for me, it was an enormous, it was something I did think about. It was something that I did feel responsible for. It was something that I thought, you know, plan A to Z through, you know, and I cared about the businesses and I cared about what was going to happen to my clients when I wasn't there. And I cared about all of these things. So I think you might be surprised at how much women actually think about it and worry about it, to be honest. Like when I was planning on having a baby and even my second and third, you know, the mental load and the thought processes that I went through for every plan and it was, it was enormous.
But there's and
I felt responsible.
I appreciate that, and I guess what I'm saying is like I'm not doubting that that's a thing, but in terms of responsibility, there's one thing from thinking about it, and there's another thing from like communicating, and
yeah, I was super open about it.
Yeah, yeah. So would your advice be to women in the future in positions where you've been, whether it's having kids or whether it's just simply facing challenges that they feel because of, you know, who they are, they're not getting the opportunity. Like what responsibility do you think they can take to ensure positive an outcome for both parties exists? Like what can they do?
If they feel like they can advocate for themselves and be as open, honest and transparent as you can be and communicate. You know, it might not be to the boss, it might be to your manager, it might be to a peer, but you need to find that support network around you. But, you know, we are, there is accountability on us to step up, to try to manage, you know, the transition from part-time to full-time or vice versa or maternity leave. You can't have things in your head and then expect some, you know, be disappointed because somebody hasn't done what you wanted them to do. You actually have to communicate that. It is a relationship. So there is definitely, it's a two-way street. There is definitely responsibility on both parties.
Like we talked on a previous episode about the transition from junior to senior and like the responsibility that sits with that person going to say, you know, what am I doing to be as prepared as possible to be able to transition to that state? I guess like similar concepts kind of sit here as well. There's like think about it, communicate it, plan it out. But I guess Absolutely. There's though, but like my understanding is there's fear of like if I start talking about this stuff, thus I will not get the opportunity because now a room full of people will go, oh, watch out. She's going to go and have a fucking baby and we won't do it. So I guess that's the fear,
I've experienced different workplaces. So yeah. I guess for me, the first one I was fearful. So I didn't communicate. I was lived in fear.
Mm.
The second one I felt way supported. It was a wildly different experience. This was when I was an employer of choice for women, like Big Four. It was a wildly different experience. I was fully supported. I gave them a lot of... you know, lead up time. I communicated throughout my time while I was on maternity leave, and then I transitioned back, and we had a plan. It was fully planned. It was smooth as silk. It was amazing. Great for them. Great for me. And the third one, a very similar experience. I was in a leadership position. I advocated for myself. I pretty much told them this is what I want to do. Had great support behind me. And so I felt in two environments, I felt where it was supportive and natural and I could communicate my whole way through it, a very positive experience, but my first one was very toxic. So I didn't feel like I could. So it does depend on the environment that you're in as to how open you can be. But that's, once again, individual to every single person. And some people honestly aren't in a position where they can advocate for themselves for whatever reason. And that's where I think connecting in with peers, network, to advocate on your behalf is super important if you don't feel like you can have those conversations. Because at some point they need to be had, or we get that career cliff of, I'm just not going to talk to them. I don't want to come back. Oh, they're not going to give me flexibility. They're not going to do this. I can't do this. I'm not supported. Like, I can't do this. And so that's where that type of stuff comes in.
We could be talking for like another hour. I reckon we're going to turn this into a second episode because I've got a good half a dozen more things because I feel like I feel like all we talked about is like you having kids. Which is awesome, and your kids are great. But there is so much.
There's so many more layers here. Like, it's not just that, diversity. And I don't. There's I would so never want people to think that it's just that because it's not at all. And
well, we're going to do it. We're going to do another episode. I've decided you don't have a choice in this, Ellie. I'm just going to because for me, this is like I guess you know some of the reality of the experiences you've had is stuff that I'm like, oh, hold on, like I just thought they were like. Myths. I thought that wasn't a real thing. Like, you know, because my reality has never, like I've never seen or experienced that. But then that's my reality. That's not your reality or others. And I guess recognizing and understanding those things are really helpful for us to go, okay, great. Yeah. Firstly, I actually feel really good about the approach that we're taking and maybe we're doing okay. But secondly, there's still some challenges here. So we're going to do another episode and I want to ask, I'm going to ask you things like, you know, what diversity of approach and benefits comes from having a, you know, a diverse gender environment. Absolutely. I want to ask about like, you know, just I guess that, the approach to like, hiring for balance and how there's been a lot of talk about bringing gender equality and I think you might have even said something really, really early and I kind of picked it up but I didn't run with it. It was like, you know, do we need to treat people differently with a view of,
we should be giving
females opportunities earlier because they won't get them if we wait kind of thing. Yes. Like I'm intrigued with like that approach of like, do we, and I know this is not what you're saying, but like, you know, are we talking about lowering standards to ensure equality? Like I want to talk about that. And there was something else that was top of my mind that I can't think of.
Yeah, no worries at all. And look, I've got so many more stories, so feel free to. But once again, I want to highlight this is a lived experience for me. I do think things have changed and are changing and I see such positive signs. But I also want to recognise that there are a lot of women with these stories and they need to be heard. And I actually did do a video a couple of years back and it's on my LinkedIn, pinned on my profile, and it's called This Is My Story. And it kind of highlights a couple of things that I've been through, some of the things that have been said to me as a woman in this industry. And, you know, totally not okay. Would it have happened now versus 15 years ago, 30 years ago? Maybe not. But they still happened, and that means that other women do have those stories, and I know that they exist because they connect with me and they talk with me about it. And I want to kind of, in this regard, give them some open space to tell their stories and be heard. And sometimes it's not about you having to fix it. You don't need to fix this, Andrew. No, you know, if a woman is speaking to you about this story, you don't need to fix it. You just need to listen and just be really conscious about it and, you know, take those new learnings, new thought processes, new ways of looking at it and take them forward. That's all.
Yeah, I think that's something I've learnt, you know, irrespective of who I'm talking to, is like respect the conversation, appreciate the perspective. And I think the other thing that I've also learnt a lot over the years, if this is important to someone that I care about, it's important to me. Even though I directly might not be impacted by it, or I directly might go, oh, it doesn't really matter. If it matters to them, it does to me. If you are listening here and you are either struggling with the space of you know, equality in your workplace or in your environment, or you're an employer and you want to, you know, understand how you can improve upon that, I would highly encourage you to reach out to various organisations. Obviously, there's Ali. I'm more than happy to have a conversation around that too, if needs be. And there are some various organisations out there. There is the Workplace Gender Equality Agency, which is an Australian government initiative promoting and improving gender equality in the workplace. That is wgea.gov.au. And there's a whole other things out there like Diversity Council of Australia.
I know CANS also has some stuff. CANZ also has some stuff as well. Yep. So, yeah, they've done some.
There is a lot of information out there. And I think when you can remove the idea of like, oh, it's just women complaining because they didn't get something, or, you know, it's women saying, oh, men are all shit kind of thing. Like, if we can remove, like, let's remove the stereotype and let's just be understanding of like, hey, like, there are some challenges in this kind of stuff, and let's make sure that we're aware of what they are and then what we as employers or employees can do to make that as positive an experience and as positive an outcome for all. I think that is what helps to bridge gaps that exist out there.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. It's all about just being conscious about it.
Thanks, Ellie. I'm glad that I didn't cry about what you were sharing today. I had to help when you said you worked until the day before you had a kid. I was about to punch the screen. I was just, I took more time off than you did before the birth of my kids.
I know. It's crazy. I look back now, and unfortunately, I do live in regret. But there is nothing you can do about that apart from just move forward.
Right on. Hey, thank you, Ali, for sharing. Thank you, friends, for being part of the conversation. Check us out where all good things are. And if you want to talk more about the topic today or any other topics, you can hit us up.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, guys. Great talking to you.
Wasn't that a fun adventure, my friends? Thank you so much. So incredibly much for hanging out with us today. Ali, you've been amazing. Andrew, you've been all right. How good is it to be able to have adventures together?
It so is. And you know what? Keep following us. We are all over the socials at Accounting Adventures. Check us out on the website. Give us a bit of a like. You know how much we love that stuff.
The best thing about the adventure is the people that we do it with. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. And please bring all the ideas. Keep them coming. We can't wait to share more cool adventures with you.
We love you guys.